The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Busy show, a lot of conversation about what happened last night in Oxford with the introduction of a new basketball coach. A look ahead to the tournament as well. We had a guest in here in the first hour that we had a good conversation about the alignment of college football with David Hale. Wes Rucker joining us now, always one of our favorite guests from Knoxville, covers the Tennessee Vols. We'll talk football in a minute. Wes, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon. And tell us about what lies ahead for really an unsung team in this NCAA basketball tournament, one that a couple weeks ago looked like a Final Four possibility. We're talking about the University of Tennessee. Good afternoon, Wes.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, it's much warmer here in Florida than where I took off from in Knoxville yesterday. But this Tennessee team is one that for most of the season, I would say, has rightfully been considered potentially a Final Four contender. And they call it March Madness. Anything can happen, but things are definitely going the wrong way right now. It hasn't been healthy all season, and I mean that all season. I don't where they've been all together and all kind of fit and firing at the same time. And then you take Zakai Ziegler, their spark plug, out of the lineup just a couple weeks before the postseason starts, and you got some issues there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They call this madness. Anything can happen, but in a binary sense, Tennessee's definitely heading the wrong way coming into this thing. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are situations when with him not being on the court, it could help. But it's hard for me to believe. I had somebody trying to convince me of that the other day in Nashville, but it's hard for me to believe. You take his shooting out, his ball handling, and just everything he adds to the team, where in the vagaries of the NCAA tournament, where you need a shot late, you need free throws, you need big assists, how they do anything but suffer without him.
There's no question about that, Paul, and I would say the energy he provides as well. I think you could make a fair argument that he's the best kind of on-ball perimeter defender in all of college basketball. And that's coming from other coaches, too. People do not like playing that kid. They love watching him. They do not love playing against him. He makes life a living hell for the other team's point guard for 30, 35 minutes a game. And without him in there, it's like the guys have said, and they said this the night he got hurt, too. They knew it then. They've got other guys on this team who can handle the ball. They don't have another Zakai Ziegler. It's hard to find guys with that kind of motor, that kind of quickness, that spark, that sort of gravitas that he's got. There's a lot of things that he has that this team just doesn't have without him. I mean, you've got a collection of combo guards playing point guard. You've got teams face guarding you and applying pressure for 94 feet. You've got transition defensive issues. There's all sorts of things. He's the head of the snake of what might be the best defense in college basketball. It's still a good team without him, but it is not the same team, and it is not as good of a team. And they don't have to have an inside straight draw now to win, but they have a lot fewer options than they had before.
Tennessee has been Heartbreak Hotel in recent years in the NCAA tournament, especially a couple of years ago. What was it, 3 years ago or 4 years ago now? When everything was expected, and it just fell short in the round of 16 last year, we all know about. Is it unfair for people to point toward Rick Barnes, or has that narrative become part of who he is? And other than that one year with Kevin Durant going to the Final Four, is that just part of the narrative of college basketball and Rick Barnes?
I don't think you can separate the two, Paul. I think you have to be to be real about that. I've said before, Rick Barnes at this stage in his career, I don't think the man has an enemy except for the NCAA tournament, and they have not been kind to each other. However, he does have one more Final Four appearance in his career than Tennessee does as a program. I think Tennessee's second or third nationally in most appearances in this tournament, nearly 30 appearances in this tournament without a single Final Four. That's kind of bonkers, but it's sort of been the history of this program. Ernie and Bernie and those guys, they had a hard time because you'd only got one team in the tournament from a conference at that point. This program has not historically really, it's been Heartbreak Hotel. They've lost games in the set final seconds. They had that really bad call that went their way against Purdue when that foul was called on Lamonte Turner a few years ago. They ran into last season a team in Michigan that was not good most of the season, but then when the postseason came around, it was like, hey, remember we were supposed to be a Final Four caliber team? And they played like that. They ran into Sister Jean in the year where she and Jesus beat up on everybody. You know, they've had bad luck in this thing, but also you can't deny the resume there. I mean, there's that whole thing, right? They call him regular season Rick, and it's harsh, but it's not unfair. I think you have to look at it objectively and say that's been the truth.
By the way, I may have misspoke. I'm not sure Durant was on his Final Four team, but it really doesn't matter, Wes, in terms of the conversation about what we're talking about now. Let me switch gears to football, and I realize that's a secondary story today, but it won't be one for long. As you get ready, once the season ends for Tennessee, whether it's this weekend or next or whenever, what are you hearing in relation to Josh Heupel as he gets ready for a very important spring?
Well, Paul, you've never heard of anybody losing an offseason, have you? I mean, everybody wins the offseason, right? It's like the strength and conditioning program goes to a new level. You know, everybody's getting bigger, faster, stronger, coming together as a team. You know, you hear all those things. And if you don't hear all those things, then you're probably having a really, really bad offseason. But it's a big story. And you know, as you mentioned a second ago, it's sort of weird with basketball season kind of ending. They got that second-ranked baseball team, and those guys are going. So I've kind of got a three-sport brain right now. But there's no question what the storylines are with Tennessee football, Paul. They've got to, you know, you have to hope that Joe Milton is what you think he is at quarterback. And if not, you need to have Nico Iamaleava ready. You've got to really, really, really improve on the back end defensively in the secondary. There's some things there that they've got to get cleaned up. You know, those are sort of the main storylines. It's like, I think they can replace those receivers just fine. They've got plenty of young kids who can play ball there, and Brew McCoy's back. You know, they got to replace the tight ends. Obviously, the quarterback is the big storyline, but that and the secondary are the two biggest ones for me, because if Tennessee gets the kind of Joe Milton that they think that he can be, and then they get just a little bit better on the back end defensively, they're right there as a competitor again. And if those things don't happen, then they're back to being a, you know, 7 or 8 win team.
Certainly changes, coaching staff changes. You mentioned what Tennessee has lost. I wouldn't say last year caught people by surprise, and people expected a good season, not as good. But what are you, as somebody who follows this team, expecting next year?
I think, to me, the whole thing depends, I hate to say it, but it really all depends on Driver 7. It depends on what's going on with Joe Milton. You know, I remember, Paul, a couple of years ago when Hooker and Milton first arrived, the thought behind the scenes at the time was that Hendon Hooker was a guy that if they needed to play him, they could, and they could definitely win 7 or 8 games. But if Joe Milton was the kind of player they think he could be, they could win 10 their first season. That was the talk when Milton first arrived on campus. He has got, and I'm not exaggerating, the best arm talent that I think I've seen at this level up close on a consistent basis. He has got arm talent that you just can't imagine how the throws he can make from the angles he can make them. But that doesn't matter, because a 7-on-7 game is not an 11-on-11 football game. You've got to put it together when you're out there facing a blitz, when you're out there with 100,000 people yelling. And Joe Milton has not been at his best in those situations in the past. I do think his performance in the bowl game, I think that was huge. I mean, even if that wasn't a great Clemson team, Paul, there were a bunch of pros on that Clemson defense. And then Milton kind of tore it to shreds. So I think that was a huge catapult into him for the offseason. He's a confident guy. He's popular around the team. Everybody loves being around him. He's a hard worker. If he is as good as they think he is or could be, then they could win double-digit games again. If not, if he's average or below average, you know, they're going to be a 7 or 8 win team. That's kind of the difference right there. It comes down to Milton on offense and the secondary on defense.
Wes Rucker covers the Tennessee Vols in Orlando for basketball, covering baseball and football as well. Always great to check in with him. We take a break now. More of your phone calls around the corner at 855-242-7285. We're coming back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back here. Wednesday afternoon. Tom is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to call. I heard Dennis from Kentucky talking about Alabama being the new Kentucky, and it was just such a ridiculous comment. The fact that he called from Kentucky, I just had to call because it not only was it ridiculous, it's just flat out wrong. I mean, Calipari's done a great job at Kentucky. As a matter of fact, very few coaches could have come to Kentucky and done what he did, win a national championship, make us competitive again, get us in the tournament, Final Fours, Elite Eights. I mean, even this year, yeah, it looked bad for a minute because our guys, I think they kind of got the big head when they preseason number four, and they're still kind of young, and he had to really get them to lock in. And once they did lock in and start playing defense, and, you know, the offense kind of came, and it's turned it around, and then now they're a sixth seed, and even if they do lose, I mean, he's done a tremendous job at getting these guys playing for the name that's on the jersey again. I mean, I've seen it. I've watched every game. But Dennis is he's an idiot. He's an idiot, Paul. And it upset me a little bit because, I mean, we got a great coach. Anybody that sees Cal and really understands what kind of coach he is, and how he's been successful. Everywhere he's been successful. Memphis, UMass, coming to Kentucky. I mean, he's in the conversation. It's got to be in the top five. And to compare, and even to say Alabama is going to be the next Kentucky, they should. I mean, first of all, Alabama's already like Kentucky because any program as successful as Alabama is in football, and Kentucky being successful in basketball, they got their portion of people that just hate them. I mean, they just hate them for their success. And it's mind-boggling that these people call in and they don't understand what's actually going on because of the hate they have for Coach Cal, the hate they have for Nate Oates. And I'm not a Bama hater. Yeah, I'm a Kentucky Wildcats fan, but Alabama's doing fine being Alabama. They don't need to try to be like Kentucky. I mean, they're doing great on their own. I don't know, Paul. It's just,
Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate your defense of Coach Cal. Let's check out Trey in Arkansas. You are on the air. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Welcome. I was calling in to say that Arkansas makes it to the Elite Eight again and might go to the Final Four. And also, how do you like Arkansas's chances making it to at least the Elite Eight?
You know, I think they could. They're in a really tricky regional when you look at it. And they have the Kansas on the front side and UConn underneath, and My gut feeling is that they won't be able to do it, even though they've been to two straight Elite Eights. I just don't think Arkansas has been consistent enough, and you can't have an off night in the tournament, as you well know. But in terms of great coaches in this league, Eric Musselman is at or near the top. Thank you very, very much for your call. Catherine is up next in Florida. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Paul. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
We're having our own March Madness here in Florida. Last week we were breaking heat records, and today it's in the 50s, but it's beautiful for March, and I think half the country is down here for spring break. But what I wanted to talk to you about was Florida Gator basketball. It's sort of a disappointing season. I know it's, you know, the first year for Todd Golden, but I'm just wondering what your take is on what we can do to sort of get back on track. And, I mean, you know, of course, under Billy Donovan, we had two national championships, and I just don't know, you know, what it's going to take for us to
Well, Catherine, number one, I believe you have the right coach. I interviewed Todd and also saw him again. He was staying at the same hotel I was at, and I saw him the next day. I think he is what you need to turn things around. I think Mike White was a very good coach, probably underrated, but sometimes the marriage needs to move on. And I think Golden is going to bring a jolt. He's already brought a jolt of energy, and you need that. It's about recruiting the right players, and I think Florida has been slow in that regard, and there's a lot more to recruiting these days, or any days, but these in particular, than just being able to get out and show up at places. You need a network and you need money, and I think under Golden that is starting to change a little bit, and he can get the elite players that Florida has had in the past. Thank you very, very much for the call. Let's continue. John is in Nashville. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. We met you on the street last week here in Nashville and just wanted to say thank you for stopping and talking to us.
Well, thank you. I hope, John, that I wasn't panhandling when you ran into me.
Well, you were, and we passed you, and then I caught you walking up the street by yourself, and I was like, hey, Paul, and you were like, hey. And I was like, all right, let's get a picture with this nice guy here. But I just wanted to address that people do not hate Kentucky basketball, the team. It's more of their fans, and when they come here, they think, oh, we run the weekend, and we own this place, and this is Nashville, and I hate to tell them, but now you don't just come to Nashville and get the easy win. You're going to have to go through Vanderbilt, as Kentucky has found out at the end of this season. But, you know, here we are, and I just wanted to say thanks for being so kind to us, and we'll see you next year.
Well, the pleasure was mine. Thank you very much. Let's check out Dwayne in Georgia. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to change the subject a little and see what you thought about the LSU baseball. They're 16-1 this year. I hope we don't pull the LSU basketball. We were 12-1 and ended up losing 13 in a row, but I don't think that's going to happen with the baseball team.
Well, Dwayne, it's still fairly early in baseball, but I think we have a pretty good idea where it's going. But this was expected, and it's been an amazing transformation down there, and I'm really happy to see it because, I mean, everybody feels like they have the best baseball fans in the country, but it would be a long argument in relation to LSU's. Hey, thank you. Thank you very, very much for the time. Michael is up next in Alabama. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Michael, we are doing great.
That is a blessing.
Thank
well,
you.
Look, I see everybody putting up here their favorite movies, but I see two movies that have not been mentioned, and that's Woodlawn and Glory Road.
Oh, wow. Those are two. Woodlawn's a story. Now,
about Paul Bear Bryant and Tony Latham,
right,
from,
yeah,
Alabama, Rutledge
Road,
from Bank.
Glory Road involves the 66 Texas El Paso team, I believe. And
yes, sir.
I remember interviewing the producers of Woodlawn a couple of years ago whenever that came out, and it's such a great story. And I had the occasion of seeing Tony about a year and a half ago in an event, and he is still a character after all these years.
Yeah, I was born in 76, and all I heard, and I'm from Birmingham, Alabama.
Sure.
All I've heard was the largest game, that high school football game that was ever played in the state, was at Legion Field,
right.
Banks versus Woodlawn. 74,000 inside the stadium and 120,000 total even on the outside.
No,
that's a large amount of people.
Michael, I missed that, but I'll never forget getting to Alabama in the early 80s and hearing about that as you did. I mean, I was hearing about it as an adult. You were hearing about it as a young kid. But it's amazing to think about. And you know, we all know about Texas and Friday Night Lights and all that, but this was a game, 52 years later, we're still talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really historical game, honestly. I mean, because you got to think, what made Paul Bear Bryant change his mind is when USC came to Alabama and whooped us, man.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, those are two memorable movies about two important events, one in college when an all-black El Paso team beat Adolph Rupp, and really many people feel changed the trajectory of college basketball in the South, and obviously the Woodlawn story. You take care of yourself. Thanks for bringing that up. Let's check out Steve, who is in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, a place that's had a few good films made about it as well.
Oh, yeah, great film, great film. Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And hope you're having a good day.
We are.
So far, good show. I'm calling, I got two things. The caller earlier from Kentucky, you know, of course, I'm a Bama fan, and I agree with him. You know, Bama, it's a great year in basketball, but now y'all see, a lot of people see, you know, what we're the standard in the football, but we've had a couple of, well, some would say down years, and, you know, we're not the best. Georgia is right now. But, you know, now everybody, you know, he's feeling what we feel in football. You know, that's my opinion on that.
But thank you for the call. I love what this guy just said about Bama football. Having a couple of down years. Last year, number two in the country. This year, number five in the country. Kentucky hasn't won a national championship in basketball in exactly 10 years. Bama won one like yesterday. We will take a break. Come back. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Mackenzie is up next.
Hello.
Hey, Mackenzie, what's happening?
Hi, Nicole. Well, I'm 9, and my name's Mackenzie, and I'm from Alexander City, Alabama. And me and my pompo love your show.
Well, thank you. Mackenzie, who are you a fan of?
I'm a fan of Alabama.
Roll Tide. Well, Mackenzie, are you looking forward to the basketball tournament tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope you guys have a good time watching it, and you stay in touch with us. We always like hearing from 9-year-olds. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Newt is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Newt.
Hey, how you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
How's the weather down there?
It's been ridiculously cold, probably like it is where you are.
Yeah. I wonder what Paul thinks about the Coach Cal's basketball, the way he coaches the teams and stuff and everything else, where I don't think he coaches teams right.
Well, Newt, let me ask you this. What don't you think Cal does right? We just had a caller who thinks he's amazing.
I mean, I'm big Kentucky fans. I got a bunch of people where I go to ball games, have big parties at my house and other people's parties at their house, and sure, we go do things and stuff. We watch ball games constantly and do things and stuff. Coach Cal, first of all, he needs to sit over on the bench and let the guys play basketball. He's on their ass constantly about things. I'm sorry I said that. But he's constantly riding him and stuff, yeah, and everything else and stuff. And he don't play the right players that need to be playing. And when the player does good, they make a little mistake, he takes them out when they're doing great and should keep them back into the system about things. You know? And why does he make do that constantly? Where he's been there for how many years? And the only thing he's ever won for the state of Kentucky was his leftovers from the last coach. And he's never won nothing for himself. You know what I mean? And people think he's the awesome person in the world. No. You know?
Well, listen, I don't want to. It's your phone call, but a lot of people disagree. They think he is a great coach, and he's also a phenomenal humanitarian. But anyway, we apparently we lost you a little bit there. Cody, a lot of conversation about the Cats. Go right ahead, Cody.
Hey, what's up, man? You doing all right?
Yes, we sure are.
All right, man, I'm sitting here trying to figure out this bracket. I'm just curious. Who do you got winning it all?
I really like Alabama. Man, I know that sounds like everybody else, but I tend to usually go with what I think is the best team. There's no way to guess accurately on what's going to happen from an upset standpoint. Kentucky plays Providence. Is that game on? That game is on Friday, right? Yeah. So.
I got my Final Four.
Yeah. So there. So what do you think?
I got Arizona, Texas, UCLA. And Purdue. I was going to go Kentucky, but I didn't want to be, you know, biased. But I got into the Elite Eight at least.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to think Kentucky is going to listen, I've been wrong about Kentucky for about 5 years now, so I'll keep believing. Chaplain Mac is up next. How are you, Mac?
Hey, Brother Paul. I'm doing good. How you doing?
We are doing great.
That's good. Good to talk with you. I've been gone for about a week with my wife for our 50th anniversary trip back to Charleston, where we met.
Congratulations. I hope that all went great.
Yeah, we had a good time. We had a real good time. I just was calling. I was going to ask you a little bit about, had you heard anything about who they were kind of centering on for as far as a quarterback for Auburn during football season? But I watched a little bit of it yesterday and saw the attacks and stirred me up and made me start praying for you. I understand that's what makes the show cook, but my goodness.
Yeah, and by the way, I think Ashford right now looks like it's about him for the most part. But back to what you said, right. And I don't know, I needed you yesterday because I'm sure by now you heard I was referred to as the devil incarnate.
Yeah, that means you were in the flesh had become the devil. That's what that means in the original language. I don't think so.
Okay. Now, can I need to ask you a question. This would be better off the air because it sounds so pedestrian. But
okay,
in that conversation I had with the artist formerly known as Jim,
right?
He talked about what a good Christian he was, and
right,
and then he called me the devil incarnate. Now, I realize there are a lot of different interpretations of many different things in Christianity, but since you understand it better than I do, can you help me when somebody tells an individual what a good Christian they are and then they call him what he called me, can you make sense out of that for me?
Yes, sir, I think so.
Okay.
You know, the Bible teaches that when somebody does that, they're doing what the devil does. The devil's called the accuser of the brethren. And to be a Christian is to go by Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. In other words, we have fruit that make us look Christian and act Christian. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm going to tell you, I was a policeman far too long. But I'm telling you now that I finally learned how to show self-control even when I disagree with somebody. I want to agree to disagree and respectfully do so and not holler and scream and holler and scream. I just don't carry us anywhere. So I won't fuss and won't fight, because with one person fussing, it's not a fight. And you know, I tell you, the fruit of the Spirit's important. Self-control is important to prove that you're a Christian. And accusing people when you disagree with them, that's what the devil does. The accuser of the devil.
And by the way, Chaplain Mack, in no way am I putting words in your mouth. I know what's going to
say. Not at all.
But so in a very loose, generic interpretation, and I'm not saying Jim is the devil.
Oh, no, he's not. No doubt about it.
We all know he's not.
He just got upset with you.
When somebody calls somebody else the devil, they, in a general way, start acting like the devil, right? Correct? Am I following you correctly?
Well, I'm telling you this.
You're not, Mac, if you want to call Jim the devil, you have a forum to do it. I'm kidding.
I wouldn't. Oh, he's not the devil. No, I wouldn't call that man a devil. You know, I think he's probably a really nice guy. He just got a little upset with you.
Chaplain Mack, I want to say this about what you just said. I always thought chaplains were supposed to speak honestly.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, I mean, I'm doing what I'm asking you to interpret, but I have had numerous conversations with this man, and he might be learned, he might be devout, he might be passionate, but calling him a nice guy would take some interpretation by various theologians.
Yes, sir. Well, I wonder.
And some psychiatrists.
If y'all don't do that on purpose to stir things up and keep this thing going.
No,
what you do. I didn't know. I'm ignorant of a lot of the things you do because I started watching late in life, but I just enjoy the people you have on there that are experts, and I learn a lot from that. And I'm not used to people screaming and hollering on the phone. I'm just not. I just don't.
Mac, sadly, I am.
I know you are. You handle it well, though. I mean, you look like you got a little upset, but you probably did a lot better than I would have done.
Well, Mac, I will say this to you. I've been called a lot of things in my career.
Of course.
But I get a little uncomfortable when someone who, and you've heard Jim say this, but Jim said a couple of weeks ago or months ago that he spoke to God about this show, and we all know how religious he is, and he's a man of faith. And I mean, I don't mind. I would mind anyone calling me the devil incarnate, I guess. And I think I should mind that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. That's not nice.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. Let me say this before I go, okay?
Okay.
There's a difference between religious and having a relationship with God. When you have a relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ, you have a love for humanity that you didn't have before, and it proves your love for God. You can't say, "I hate somebody," and say you love God. It don't work. Okay. Biblically, it don't work. So it's a difference between being religious and have a relationship with God, because that relationship with God causes you through the Lord Jesus to love your brother and to love humanity with all your heart, mind, and soul.
That's one of the most important things that's ever been said on this show. Chaplain Mack, thank you very, very much. I have nothing more to say about my brother, Jim from Tuscaloosa. We will take a short break, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We haven't even started the 23 college football season, but there's already a little bit of news about 24. It was just announced that LSU's game with Southern Cal, yes, they are playing in 24, will be on Sunday night, September 1st, in Las Vegas at 7:30 Eastern time. So before we even get to 23, we're already talking about 24. Jim is up next.
Yeah, thank you for letting me respond. At least you do that much. I'll give you credit for that. Now, what I want to say is this, Paul. You're not my brother, in my opinion, and I'll tell you why. Because I do not perceive or discern from God, who I have a relationship with, that you've been saved, that you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and you have given your life over to God through Jesus Christ. I do not discern that. I say that because of how you run the show, how you picket people, just all kind of things. Now, let me say something about Chaplain Mack. I like that man. He's wrong on certain things. I never said I hated you. He said you can't call some. You can't hate somebody. Well, I don't hate you, Paul. I don't hate you at all. But Jesus addressed the devil and other people when he told them in the 8th chapter of Gospel of John, "You are of your father, the devil." He was talking to people he knew were servants of Satan. That's who he was talking to, and he knows all of them, good and bad, what they are, because he is God. So that's what I was basically saying to you, Paul. I do not perceive you as a Christian, and therefore you're not my brother. Just only way you can be my brother is to be a fellow Christian, and that's all I know I can tell you. That's a fact, and that's why I talked about that fool issue one time. God said in the Bible, don't call your brother. If you call your brother, that means another Christian, a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. Well, I didn't call that whoever I called a fool that time, I knew they were not my brother. Or my sister. That's you got a lot to learn about what we're talking about. God's taught me these things because he knows what's going on and he knows how to teach you these things. But I'm telling you that's what you have provoked me. Like the man said, he's right about that. You provoked me yesterday. You provoked me profoundly many times, called me a liar, said lying things about me, and that's a fact, and you know it. That's what I'm going by. That's all I can go by. How you treat me. Yeah, and yes, the man is wrong. The man is right. Mac is right. I should not have responded. I shouldn't respond the way I do sometimes. But you provoked me to the point where I want to tell you what I really believe about you, and that's what I did yesterday, and I meant every word I said. But I don't hate you. What I need to do is pray for you more, and that's what I haven't done enough.
Well, thank you, Jim. I love you, and I will pray for you. Thank you for the call. Judy is up next in Florida. Hello, Judy.
Hi, Paul. I got to take a deep breath here and keep it together. I was calling in response to how Jim acted yesterday, and I wanted to apologize because just for the way he is, period, and let alone that he, you know, even bringing football or any kind of ball into it, but he claims to be an Alabama fan. That kind of, it's a very much an embarrassment to me as an Alabama fan as well. But I just have to go by. First, like I said, I want to apologize for Jim because he obviously just does not understand. I'm almost at a loss for words after just hearing him just now. I'm a Christian, and I attend a church where we believe that, you know, if you love the Lord with all your heart and you ask for forgiveness of your sins and you're sincere, then, you know, you're a Christian. You become a Christian. You become one with the Lord. And I don't know what Jim, I'm not going to talk about his religion or his faith, because really, I don't think you need religion. I think you just need the good Lord and everything. And I will just finish this up because I'm a little upset with him now. But